This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to start out today by talking with Bob Every from the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame and talk about the Hall of Fame. Their induction ceremony is coming up in August. And if you want to get tickets, well, you better get in on it soon because it's selling out quite fast. So let's bring in our good friend Bob Every. Bob, how you doing, buddy?
How are you?
A-okay. Yeah, you were on with Tim and I a couple of weeks ago, and you were talking about the Hall of Fame, and that is coming up soon, and boy, it's really selling out, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly coming up sooner than you think. You think when you initially start putting everything together, you got some time, but, you know, really August the 2nd is not that far away, and the response to this year's induction ceremony has been off the wall. Of course, you know, Lansing's favorite son, Magic Johnson, is going to be inducted. And then when you throw in there the likes of Mohsin Mohammed, who played for the Panthers, Carolina Panthers for years, the graduate from Waverly, and the other outstanding people coming in, it just seems to be a ticket that everybody wants to be a part of. So we have been swamped with mailings. We're approaching close to 300 now, so that's almost 100 more than when I was on Tim's show here a week or so ago. So it's going fast.
Yes, so if people want to get tickets still, how can they go about it?
Well, the best way, and really the only way that they can get tickets outside of maybe calling me, is to go online at our website, which is LansingSportsHallOfFame.org, LansingSportsHallOfFame.org, and then type on to the ticket information site there. There's a little click on it. You can click that on, and then ticket application form will come up. Fill that up, follow the instructions. Fill that out, follow the instructions. Mail it in to me at the address, and then we will process your ticket order, and then we will mail the tickets out on or around July the 1st.
Bob, how do you think, how did this excitement and all the everything going on around the Sports Hall of Fame, since you moved from LCC to the hall. So what happened? What made it seem more attractive there?
Well, I think, Earl, we were at Lansing Community College for 35 years. Walt Lingo, who was one of the founding fathers, who will be coming back for special awards as the only living founder of the Hall of Fame at August the 2nd. We're going to honor him. But when Walt started this, I thought that he probably was thinking that the logical place to have it was at LCC because he was there and we were getting support, from the college. But, you know, as the years went by and the college took a different direction and it just seemed, the interest seemed to wane at the college regarding the Hall of Fame. And so in the makings the last 5 or 6 years, we were looking actually forward to maybe moving it out of LCC into a more appropriate area or spot. And we thought downtown at the Lansing Center would be the primary spot to go. And I contacted Scott Keith from the CEO of the Lansing Center, and Mike Price was also involved, the Greater Lansing Sports Authority. And we got together and decided that, you know, the Lansing Center would be the new home for the Hall of Fame. And then we just started dismantling it at the LCC, and we brought it over to the Lansing Center. We've added some special features. We're going to be adding more special features, and we're going to make it a real showpiece and a must place to see when you're downtown. So we're really excited about our relationship with the Lansing Center and having the Hall of Fame right there.
Have you seen many people coming through to this date or just going in and glancing at it?
Well, I go down quite often, actually, and I just kind of like to hang out and watch people when there's conventions going on at the center. And I see people all the time looking at the plaques. They get a break between sessions or something, and they're out there reading. I was walking through there the other day, actually a couple weeks ago, and there was a gentleman looking at the John Smoltz jersey that we had hung above the plaque that John has for his induction. And I stop and ask the guy. He says, "Are you a Smalls fan?" He says, "You know what?" He says, "I'm here for a convention from Atlanta." He says, "I'm a real big Atlanta Braves fan, and I never knew that John Smalls was from Lansing, Michigan." So he was really excited to be able to be reading the information on the plaque. And there's all sorts of people that like that type of thing. We've gone one step farther, Earl. At LCC, we just had the cases with the individual plaques in them. Now we have special memorabilia, mainly in the way of jerseys and warm-up suits and that kind of stuff that were worn by various Hall of Fame people that have been inducted. But we've gone, as I said, one step farther. We've gotten in several large display cases, and we're asking Hall of Fame members, and if there's any out there listening to the program, to donate that odds and ends stuff, you know, like the baseball spikes or the baseball gloves or the football or anything that they think would be, worthy to have in the hall for people to be able to walk along and look at. And my friend Jeff Kegler, who is basically heading that up, he's making up the ID signs and cards for the each memorabilia thing in the display cases. So there's a little bit of history. So they get a chance to read a little bit about the history of Lansing sports and its sports heritage right here in the mid-Michigan area.
Yes, we know that Lansing has a great, great history, Bob, over the years. You've been involved in a lot of that. And what's made Lansing so special and so good? I mean, Lansing and the surrounding communities have a great, great sports history.
Earl, I don't know, but I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't know of any town or any area of Lansing size that has produced more prominent athletes than we have. I mean, jeepers, creepers, we've got tons of people that have gone through the Olympics. And then look at our feeder system. I mean, you look at Jordan Weaver, for example, and kids that are aspiring to be Olympians and professionals. I mean, there's a thing in the state journal the other day about three or four professional hockey players that you hardly hear about. You know, Matt Green is one of the guys, and he had a couple from one from Holden, another from Mason. But I mean, I don't know why we're constantly producing these great athletes that go on and excel in the pro ranks and in the Olympics. But I just hope they keep it coming, because it really adds to the credibility of our Hall of Fame, and then us constantly trying to keep in front of the public's eye the great sports heritage of this area.
Bob, I just got a message in here, sad to say, but former coach Nolan Richardson has been found passed away in his home.
Oh, my God. In Tulsa. No kidding.
Yes.
He was a great one, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
How old was he?
Let me see if it says it on here. It doesn't say on here.
I just didn't think he was that old. I mean, I hope it. One of his natural causes or what?
Yeah, said the 47 years old. That's.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that was the third. That was his son, not him, but that was his son, Nolan Richardson.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Okay. Right. Well, that's too bad. I mean. Yeah. You always hate to hear something like that happening. You're trying to throw some water on my parade here, Earl. Doggone it. Come on.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about, you've had a great career in boxing and coaching and, of course, you know, the Greater Lansing Hall of Fame, which is really, it's really gotten so much publicity, and it's gotten so much attention in the last few years, because once you moved from LCC, that's really been a plus. I mean, like, it's sort of shocking to say, it was hard to believe that it would be even better once you moved out of the LCC.
Well, yeah, here's my thing. Whether you like it or you don't like it, I don't know if you have an opinion on it or you don't have an opinion on it. No, Lansing in the mid-Michigan area is sports-driven. I mean, and of course, Michigan State University is the straw that stirs the sports drink here in Lansing in the mid-Michigan area, and rightfully so. We have a tremendous sports heritage. And you know, if you walk down the corridors of the Lansing Center and you're looking at the Hall of Fame, I mean, you see Judy Brown King's Olympic blazer that's like 10 feet away from you. I think there's all sorts of inspirational messages that we have on display down at the Lansing Center. And I think our young kids should see the sports heritage and get a little bit of an idea, Earl. If you work hard and you keep your nose clean, you could aspire to be a Judy Brown King. You can aspire to be a Don Beam. You can aspire to be a Magic Johnson. I mean, proof positive is there. This is the jersey, like Kevin Jackson's Olympic warm-up jacket that he wore on the gold medal stand when they played the national anthem after him winning that gold medal is right there. Todd Martin's Olympic warm-up jersey. I mean, I want kids to see those things and understand that these people came from your community, and if they did it, doggone it, you can do it too. You just have to aspire to want to be that great.
It's so true because, you know, we've seen so many great athletes have come through the Mid-Michigan area, have been developed here, not just come through, but have been developed here in Mid-Michigan. That's what makes this community so unique is that they just didn't pass through. They were developed here.
Yeah, true. I mean, and then you take a look at Jordan Weaver. I mean, a lot of times, and I said this when I had, Joe Sledgehammer Lipsy and Roger Stingray Turner and Fabian Williams and those guys that boxed for me. I think sometimes people locally don't understand the greatness of these kids as much as maybe the people out in the outside of the Lansing area, you know, that read about them in a paper. I mean, they're not really looked on as being as great as somebody else maybe in another state would look on them. And it's really kind of too bad. But, I mean, when you take a look, Jordan Weaver is one of the, if not the greatest gymnast in the world. I mean, she's right here from DeWitt, Michigan, and she's surely going to be in the Hall of Fame. The Simmons brothers, you know, Nick just got beat in the Olympic trials, but people don't understand how great you have to be to make the Olympic team, to be a Magic Johnson, to be a Muhsin Muhammad, to be a John Smoltz. I mean, but it's possible. If you believe strong enough in something, it becomes a reality if you willing to put your actions into motion and live the life that you need to live in order to get to that position. It doesn't come without disappointments. It doesn't come without a lot of hard work, but they have proven that it can be done, and what a message it is for the kids that are aspiring to be like Magic Johnson.
Oh, for sure, Bob. We've had so many great athletes come through here, and that have aspired and done big things, gone to the pro level, and have done a lot of good things on the amateur level. I know we concentrate on the pros so much, but it should be shown, and like you say, we need to talk a little bit more about the kids and people who don't aspire to be pros, but to be the best of amateur athletics. And we certainly had a lot of those who aspired to have been a great, great amateur.
Well, you're right, too. You know, and all of this has, you know, there's always a plan to my madness here, you know, and the Hall of Fame is certainly no different. But, you know, we don't get a chance to get the message out unless we have sponsors like Kelly Dean, for example. Kelly Dean from Dean Transportation, he's one of our major sponsors. Auto Owners is one of our major sponsors. The money that they donate to the Lansing Hall of Fame, which is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, allows us to do the things that we need to do to get the message out to our local kids, our local community. I mean, those people are absolutely vital. And then our volunteers that help us on the Hall of Fame staff. I mean, you have to understand that the Hall of Fame's purpose is to promote Lansing in the Mid-Michigan area. No volunteer gets paid. You know, nobody receives any kind of compensation in any way, shape, or form for being involved in the Hall of Fame. And our sole purpose is to promote the area that we live in. That's all we're here to do.
Hey, Bob, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you and talking about the Hall of Fame. Before I let you go, got any comments on the fight? Did you get a chance to see the fight this past week?
Well, you know, I thought, you know, it goes back to the point, Earl, where, and I did see the fight, but it goes back to the point where there's only one fight out there right now, you know, and that's Pacquiao and Mayweather. I mean, let's face it, you can window dress anything you want, but until those two guys get in the ring, everything is kind of anticlimactic. What I would like to say, though, before I leave, is that, and we talked about our sponsor base on the Hall of Fame. We're having our Hall of Fame 10K, 5K road race, which is going to be July 29th at the Lansing Center to raise money for the Hall of Fame. So any of those runners out there or walkers or whatever that want to contribute to the Hall of Fame in some kind of way, we'd love to have you go at the Playmakers running site and take a look at our webpage for the racing and sign up and join us that day for the race. But, one fight out there, Pacquiao, Mayweather, anything else doesn't matter. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's the way I feel.
Okay, okay. Hey, Bob, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll be talking again pretty soon.
All right, thanks, Earl.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Bob Every talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKR, the executive director for the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKR.
I'm Neil Conan. Every day brings fresh developments and interesting stories to tell. At Talk of the Nation, we look for the stories that matter to you. From international news to the latest campaign politics to the issues that touch your family, tune in for Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Sunny skies prevail this afternoon, 75 degrees for the high, then mostly clear tonight with lows in the upper 40s. Another sunny day for Tuesday, even warmer, a high in the upper 70s. And then a little bit cooler on Wednesday, but still very nice. Mostly sunny skies and highs in the upper 60s. I'm Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527. Toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to talk a little bit of NBA basketball and a little bit of boxing with Dave Mayo from MLive.com. And let's bring in our good friend Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl. Good. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, I know we got them in the midst of the NBA playoffs. We had the big fight between Cotto and Mayweather last week, and we saw the replay. At least I got to see the replay this week. It was an interesting fight, Dave. Mayweather got hit a little bit more. His defense was still impeccable, but he got hit a little bit more this fight, and probably because he didn't move quite as much.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, when he was in the middle of the ring, you know, it looked for those brief moments sort of like most other Mayweather fights, but he chose not to fight that way, and he stood down, he backed himself onto the ropes and fought off the ropes and engaged Cotto in fighting. So it was a different kind of Mayweather fight than a lot of people have seen over the years, but he controlled the fight both ways, and it was entertaining, and I think for one of the few times in recent pay-per-view history, these fans kind of went away thinking that, you know, the $60 wasn't poorly spent. So it was an entertaining fight.
Do you think he's starting to make a little bit of concessions to age? He is 35 now.
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, I think he's fighting in a little different style because, in 35-year-old legs, you hit on it. I mean, it's always interesting to see how a guy adapts a game plan to try and win different ways at different stages of their careers, regardless what sport it is. It's just a lot of ways it's more pronounced in boxing because if that's the new Mayweather, which, you know, there's some question as to whether he fights that same style against other guys, but if that's the new Mayweather, then it'll be intriguing to see how he stacks up against guys going forward, because he certainly put himself right in the pocket for, 80% of that fight the other night.
Yes. Do you think there's any chance we'll ever see a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight?
Well, I mean, there's always a chance, sure, but and they probably, I mean, I seriously doubt they'll have any conversations until at least the end of June, if they occur at all going forward, but there won't be any movement on that stuff for, I wouldn't think, another 5 or 6 weeks till Pacquiao, whatever happens. happens with the Pacquiao fight with Timothy Bradley, and you know, he'll take a little rest and before they talk, and Mayweather will be in jail in June and July. So, you know, to think that it would happen this year, I think, is a little far-fetched, just because the timing of it for a pay-per-view event late this year is a little difficult. Pacquiao's fighting June 9th, so to squeeze in a pay-per-view in November, say, would be pushing it pretty closely, given that they're not close. So if it's going to happen, it would have to happen around this time next year.
Hey, Dave, now, I've never asked you this before, but how come it takes so long to plan a pay-per-view fight? What's something that goes in, if you know about why it takes so long to plan a pay-per-view?
Yeah, you have to have the absolute minimum for reserving the window with the cable networks is 90 days. So you have to have it in place 90 days out as an absolute dictum. It's a requirement. So you back up from that, and you have to have, realistically, it doesn't work just getting it set 90 days in advance. It has to be more than that, because, you know, there'll be for a fight of that magnitude, there'll probably be a close to a 2-week press tour. There'll be the period that it takes to actually negotiate the fight. You're looking at usually 5 months out that you realistically need to know what the date of your pay, 4.5 to 5 months of the pay-per-view is, and then that allows you time to reserve the date with the cable companies to do the press tour and to get a training camp in before the fight takes place. So that's kind of why it takes so long, and it's why these guys at the top of the food chain don't, you know, when they fight twice a year, you kind of feel fortunate, because that's about all they can do.
That's interesting. Hey, Dave, when you looked back at that Cotto Mayweather fight, Cotto, he hit him pretty good, but, you know, Mayweather blocked and caught a lot of those punches, even though Cotto did hit him a few times. He hit him pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, Cotto got his shots in. Mayweather was cleaner, more accurate, and better defensively. He found the home for the left uppercut as the fight went along. I mean, it wasn't Floyd standing in the middle of the ring and jabbing. Actually, he didn't land many jabs. He only landed 17% of his jabs. It was a power punching fight both ways. And you know, like I said, Mayweather caught a lot. He slipped a lot. A few landed. But when you stand right in front of a guy like Cotto, that's going to happen. I thought he won the fight every way that it was fought. And so, you know, ring generalship comes into play a lot in a fight like that. He landed the cleaner shots too, but in scoring the fight, I mean, I don't know how you scored it. I had it, I think, 9-3. I think I had 117-111.
Yeah, I think I had it like that too.
I mean, I just think as it goes along, the ring generalship and the clean, sharp punching really, really became evident. And, you know, yeah, he was marked up. Mayweather got hit. I mean,
yeah.
Bruises on his face, puffy face. You know, he looked like he'd been in a fight after the fight, which he usually doesn't. But we don't know exactly what Cotto looked like, because he was in the hospital. So it was a rough, rugged fight, and Mayweather gave better than he got. That's why he won the fight.
Yes, he did. And, you know, when you look at, and they talked a little bit about it, if there isn't a Pacquiao fight, who might Mayweather's next opponent could be, or potentially?
Well, I mean, I think Amir Khan is probably a really likely candidate right now. He just had his fight with Lamont Peterson canceled, the rematch, because of a steroid test, positive steroid test for Peterson before the fight. They were supposed to fight this weekend, and so that fight got canceled, which kind of altered the landscape. Now Khan's looking for a fight. Mayweather would make a sensible opponent, and it might make an easy fight to pull together, because Khan's a golden boy. So and he brings a British audience. I think if I were going to bet on a guy that I think it might be in the next fight, given that, you know, Mayweather's going to be in jail in June and July, and they have to pull something together by the end of the year. If he indeed meets that goal of his to fight twice in 2012, I would think Amir Khan would probably be the favorite, just because of how easy it would be to put the fight together from a business perspective. So he would be the logical next choice. Obviously, if Tim Bradley beats Pacquiao, he leapfrogs everyone. I think that if Mayweather chooses to stay at 154, Canelo Alvarez looked good against Mosley the other night, and he might make an attractive opponent. And if Mayweather's going to fight Alvarez, he needs to do it before he gets too old and Alvarez gets too good. And whoever wins the rematch between Andre Berto and Victor Ortiz, given the unsatisfactory ending to Mayweather Ortiz, and the possibility that Berto avenges the fight, I think either one of them possibly could become another Mayweather opponent.
Okay. Well, let's turn to the NBA. I know you follow the NBA quite a bit. We're at the playoffs now. Miami and Miami in New York. Miami and Indiana now, and that could be a good series. I thought it could be, but boy, the way Miami locked them down yesterday, they've certainly gave it's going to look awfully tough for Indiana to come back.
Yeah, Bosch, I guess, is out indefinitely. Yes. With a lower body injury, so we'll see what effect that has and how long he's actually out. So that could change the series, because Hibbert's tough to deal with, and Indiana gets a little more advantage on the interior this way. So we'll see what effect that has on the series going forward, but. Things opened up for Miami a lot in the East when Derrick Rose got hurt. Philadelphia played a lot better than I expected them to in the first round, given the way they kind of folded up shop late in the season. But, I mean, you look over the Eastern landscape now, and as much as Miami probably doesn't want to run into Boston, I mean, it really looks just wide open for Miami to walk through the East now and probably go into the finals as rested as you possibly could be going into the finals, given the abbreviated season and what could be, some short series in the conference playoffs. And then you go to the west side and see who survives the dogfight out there.
Yeah, could Boston beat Miami? I mean, I think they beat them by one in the regular season. I know the regular season doesn't mean much once the playoffs start, but is Boston good enough do they have enough left, I should say, to scrape together one more run for a championship?
Well, I think if there's someone most likely to upset Miami in the East, you'd have to look at the veterans who know how to close games and know who should close games. And they've got the guys who can do it. They've got inside and outside. So they know how to close games. And so you have to – I think Miami, even if you truth serum, if you'd asked them before the playoffs started who they didn't want to play in the East, it probably would have been Boston just for that reason. I think a Boston Miami series could be really competitive, and if nothing else, it might extend Miami a little bit more than Miami cares to be extended before what would appear to be a likely NBA Finals berth for Miami.
Surprisingly, the San Antonio's really gotten stronger in the playoffs, and they swept Utah out of in that first series. What do you think, San Antonio is really good enough to win one more title? I mean, they're a team that's a little long in the tooth too, but boy, their guys are really playing and are playing. The guards are really starting to take over that team more so. It used to go through Tim Duncan. Now it doesn't seem to go through Tim Duncan anymore for the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, and they're gonna get tested a little more by the Clippers than they did by Utah, which is one of the few teams in the league that still has, traditional dump it into the center post offense with Al Jefferson. So, I think the Clippers athletically are going to extend San Antonio a little bit more in this second round than San Antonio caught it the first round. And then on the other side, of course, Lakers have a fresh Metta World Peace or Artest or whatever he is these days. But that's a good series with the Thunder. And I think if it comes down to it, the Thunder have gotten, you can see their confidence going up. They belong here. And I think in Oklahoma City, as much as everybody might like to see a Lakers-Clippers series, I mean, I think an Oklahoma City-San Antonio series is almost inevitable out west. It's just a classic a team on the rise against the old puncher trying to put 12 rounds together one last time. So that would be an epic Western series if it comes down to that.
It certainly could. I mean, whoever is left, we're going to have four of the best teams in basketball playing, which will really make for some a very good series from on either side. Oklahoma City, that's the rising star, and if you have Miami on the other side, they're the rising stars in the East. They didn't win it all last year, but like they talked about, which I didn't expect them to win it last year, but they thought they could win it last year. But how much pressure do you think there is on Miami to just, they've got to win this year or win a championship this year?
It's enormous. I mean, it was enormous last year. If they don't do it this year, you have to wonder what they do going forward. I mean, it's tremendous. It's tremendous pressure. And I mean, and it's not just, it's the pressure's on them to win it all, but there are, there's around the league, there are these series now can affect what happens going forward. I mean, how long do the Clippers extend San Antonio and affect the Western Finals? How much does Bosch getting hurt here affect Miami in this series and possibly extend it and put them in danger in this round and then affect the Boston series going forward? So, all of this stuff is—it's like a long, drawn-out stage play, and we're kind of coming to the end of the first act here. And so many things could happen before, but the pressure on Miami is tremendous. It's enormous.
Jeez. Yeah, Miami. When they put those three together, they brought a lot of pressure on themselves, didn't they?
Well, sure, but mm-hmm. That's the kind of pressure you want to bring on yourself. I mean. They should win the championship. They're the best team in the league. But as we saw yesterday, with Bosch going down, those things are fragile. I mean, when you're only dealing with a 13-man roster and realistically, eight men in the playoffs, you lose a guy like that, it changes everything.
Yeah, it really does. Hey, Bob, Dave, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, talking a little boxing, talking a little basketball. Hopefully, everyone is still hoping that Mayweather and Pacquiao will get together at some time, hopefully in the future, even if not the next fight, or hopefully next year or something. With Mayweather talking about how the fight can't get made because of Bob Arum, and Arum is Pacquiao's promoter, it's hard for me to see that they're going to get around that somehow.
I haven't been optimistic the fight would be made for the last two and a half years. So, I agree. I think it will be difficult to get around, and I think that now they're past the initial hurdle of the blood testing and all that, presumably. The other hurdles, the personality and ego hurdles and the problems caused by failed negotiations and disgruntlement between the parties brought on over the last two and a half years, much less the years before that, they all factor into this stuff. Now, there's a lawsuit for libel. There's Mayweather putting up big numbers that Pacquiao has problems matching in the pay-per-view realm, which is simply because Mayweather's an American, so he's going to sell to a broader American audience than Pacquiao is. And, all those things factor in now. I mean, he did $1.5 million and $94 million $6 with Cotto and pay-per-view the other day. That's an enormous number. I think it's about the fifth largest pay-per-view in history, any weight division. So, I mean, it's hard to overcome all those things. And hopefully they do. I mean, hopefully at the end of the day they all realize that it's what has to happen. But even then, you're dealing with the possibility that in the interim, one or both guys loses and devalues the fight. So lots can happen.
Okay. Hey, Dave, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get back together again and talk some more sports and some more boxing.
Great. Good being with you, Earl. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And that's Dave Mayo from MLive.com talking sports with us right here on AM 870, NBA basketball and boxing with us right here. The time now, 41 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
After Florida schools held back students who didn't read well enough by third grade, reading scores soared. Hannah Scandera, New Mexico's education secretary, calls that
pretty darn remarkable.
Education expert David Berliner uses a different phrase, mean-spirited.
Well, of course, they're a year older. Of course they're going to do better when they get into fourth grade.
I'm Neil Conan, reading and retention. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We'll keep the sunny skies for this afternoon and a high near 75 degrees. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the upper 40s. Sunny also on Tuesday, highs in the upper 70s, and a mostly sunny day on Wednesday, a little bit cooler, highs in the upper 60s. This is Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. And just give us a call, talk sports with us, or you can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, basically on Facebook. We're really on Facebook, so give us a call and look at our Facebook page here on WKAR. And we're going to talk a little bit of baseball right now and a little bit, and maybe a little bit more basketball. We're going to bring in our friend Aaron Young and talk a little bit of baseball with him. And in the Tigers and Justin Verlander, you know, won a very good game, pitched a very good game yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, which is good to see. So hopefully that continues on here.
It should. I mean, he is one of the best pitchers in baseball, one of the best pitchers certainly in the American League, and he's been going strong. Now, the Tigers have a unique two-game series against Chicago coming up, and they're going to have a day game tomorrow, which is rare to have a Tuesday day game scheduled. So we'll see a little bit how they handle that one, playing on a Tuesday afternoon. You know, usually the day games are on Thursdays or either get to it on the weekend. But that'll be and I got to tell you, Aaron, I've always thought that we should have more day games than what they – I know the night games are one, but it seems like the people really enjoy going out to the ballpark during an afternoon game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the day games are always nice. Now, I didn't check yet. Is this home or away?
They're away.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've always been in favor of the day games. You know, especially, I mean, most parks are beautiful parks, so ballparks, that is. So, I mean, during the day, and, you know, if the especially springtime, man, you can have some beautiful, beautiful weather, and there's nothing like being out at the ballpark during the day like that and having a nice hot dog or something. But, you know, I wish they would have more day games, frankly, just because, you know, sometimes night games, they, you know, sometimes if they go extra innings, I mean, you know, it gets late. I mean, I've been to Tigers games and, you know, night games, and then they'll go extra innings, and it's 10:30, 11 o'clock before you get out of there, and then sometimes, you know, they have the fireworks or something afterwards, so you stick around for that. You're like, well, I paid the ticket. You might as well stick around for that show. So, and then sometimes people got to get to work the next morning.
That's,
you know,
true.
They got to be to work 7, 8 o'clock or even earlier, so... I mean, I've seen plenty of people have to leave early because they're like, man, I got to get to work. You know, I don't want to be on 3 hours of sleep or something, you know, because people sometimes have to travel an hour or two just to get to the ballpark. But when it's during the day, you know, a lot of people have, you know, can take a day off or something from work, or even if they're lucky enough, maybe their work will go as a group or something, and they go to the ballpark and they get out, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, and they got the rest of the evening to do whatever they want. So, you know, I think it's a win-win for everyone. Now, I don't know what the stats are, though. I would assume, though, they probably don't sell as many tickets during the day. I mean, if you usually watch them on TV, you can usually tell during the day that the seats aren't as filled. But, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not selling more tickets. But night games are great, too. But I would like to see more day games.
Yeah, I would, too. I would really like to see more day games, and especially at the pro level. I mean, it just seems like they just don't do enough with day baseball. I mean, it's fine in college. It's fine in high school, of course. But they certainly need more day games on the pro level. People get used to seeing going to games in the day. And the playoffs used to be like that, especially. And now the playoffs are just about all at night now because of the way it is. But I remember the old days when you could see a World Series game in a day and a playoff game in the day. But now that's just about long gone, as Ernie would say.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, the playoff situation, I mean, we know why they're at night. It's all about the TV ratings. I mean, you know, unfortunately, that's just how it is, and, you know, we just have to accept it. That's never going to change, and, you know, Fox has obviously got a strong hold on that, so, and I know they're on TBS as well, or, you know, the affiliate channels, but, you know, those are all about getting the ratings, making sure, you know, because if that's during the day, most people they're not going to be able to get the ratings that they do at night, and, you know, it is what it is, but that's just, I guess that's part of the ball game.
Yeah, it is. And one thing, Aaron, we know, whether there's football games or not, there's always football to talk about. That's for sure. The Lions just completed their 3 days of a mini camp, as most of the teams in the NFL had their rookies reported and they got a chance to look at them up close and personal and see how they may fit in to their organizational structure. And the Lions, they seem, Jim Schwartz said he was happy with the three days that they wait, and he liked some of the he got a couple of big time players out of Oklahoma and some of the other small college guys. He thought they looked pretty well for their first time, and I know they put those guys through a lot of work, and they give them the playbook, and they have to learn a lot before the season starts, before practice even starts in the fall.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. I read an article yesterday back at home in my local newspaper. Who's the cornerback name? It's blanking me.
From Alma? From Albion?
Yeah. It's a lot to take in, and he was saying, you know, it's really the speed. You know, he said it. He wasn't even. They're not even in a real game situation, and just in minicamp, the speed alone is. You know, he has to adjust to that, and you know, it was a nice awakening for him, and he was talking about, like you said, having to learn so many things at once, and the coach is expecting you to do so. There's no excuses, you know, at this point. So, and if they don't learn it, you know, they're really hurting their chances. But he said he was happy with how things were going in practice. And I kind of read the same thing in the article, too, that the coach was happy. And so it sounds like everything is going well so far. But, you know, there's a lot of time left, obviously. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how things pan out.
Yes, we got to see how the new receivers develop, which ones will make the team. You know, I'm sort of curious to see if Ryan Broyles get back to what he was at Oklahoma State. You know, if he gets back, he can definitely be a big plus. And, of course, we've got Boise State receiver last year, and his quarterback is there. So it'll be interesting just to see how some of these guys get when they start hitting and putting on the pads and doing all that stuff in the fall.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Detroit, they've had a tendency to have a lot of injuries, and which is kind of weird. I don't know if it's just one of those, you know, little things on the team that the team has to deal with. But they've always had a lot of injuries for some reason. But and I don't know if it's the staff or what. But you know, once you get to the pro level, you know, it usually tends to they're able to get guys healthier quicker than in college. And so because obviously there's money involved and they're much much more important. But yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I would assume that most of these guys will be ready to go you know, the whole wide receiver thing, you know, they throw enough to him, you know, Stafford's going to throw enough to him to kind of get a feel for how they, you know, their speed and all that good stuff. So I think once fall turns around, I think everyone will be ready to go, and hopefully everyone can stay healthy.
I know you're not a boxing guy, but did you see the fight, the Mayweather Cotto fight over the weekend?
Actually, no, I didn't. Nope, no, I didn't see anything. I would like to see it, though. It sounds like it was an interesting fight.
It was. It was a pretty interesting fight, and Cotto fought Mayweather well. Mayweather still won the decision, but Cotto, he handled himself quite well. He's a very good fighter, and, you know, he hit Mayweather probably a few more times than Mayweather would have liked to have gotten hit, but it was a good fight, and, you know, Mayweather said he's going to be doing more crowd-pleasing fights as he's nearing the end of his career. He may have just another year or two left to fight, and unless he decides to. So many fighters, when they get close to the edge, and they get to that point, then they feel they want to make a few more dollars or make a few more paydays.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. I mean, you know, usually as a fighter, I mean, when you retire, you're still pretty young guy or person. So that would make sense to try to get the most money in your pocket before you have to, you know, you leave town, leave your career. So, but I did read in an article yesterday, though, that I think that was the second highest grossing pay-per-view that they've had. Now, granted, you know, that may not be adjusting for inflation and prices going up for pay-per-view. So, but, you know, that's good to see. I mean, you know, if that between Cotto and him bringing in that much money, you know, Pacquiao and Mayweather, I'm sure that would probably be the number one grossing pay-per-view fight.
Yeah, it probably will, for sure. And we don't know if we'll see it. Hopefully we'll see it one day, because that should be the number one grossing fight in the history of pay-per-view. But, you know, I don't know if it's going to be Mayweather's toughest fight. I mean, he's had a lot of tough fights, and he had a tough one the other day against Miguel Cotto. But, you know, everyone sort of believes that Pacquiao and Mayweather, and I thought for a long while, I was picking Pacquiao over Mayweather. I've changed since then. Mayweather's defense is so good, it's going to make it very tough for Pacquiao to get a win, because Mayweather's such a good defensive fighter, and that's how he makes his money. And Pacquiao definitely will leave himself open at times if those two ever get together. So it'll be a very good fight if they ever get together and see. And I don't know if we'll ever see it, because Pacquiao, he's been reluctant to take the Olympic drug style testing, and I don't think it's ever going to come to in boxing. But Mayweather is pushing it, so I don't know. It might come into the forefront for him one of these days.
Yeah, you know, it's a big if it happens. Frankly, I mean, it sounds like this has been going on for a couple of years now. They've been talking about this. But maybe there's something in they all got this secret that they're keeping between each other, and they got something in their back sleeve, and they're waiting just for the right moment to announce the fight, which, you know, would surprise us all or something. I don't know. But, you know, if it's been going on for this long, you know, it seems like these people would have came to an agreement by now, and frankly, I don't see it happening. And but if it does, you know, everyone's going to be extremely happy, and a lot of people are going to be happy in Vegas. So.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm at the holding out hope at the end, because I really don't think it's going to happen. But I'm just saying, well, maybe if it ever does happen, maybe it'll happen. Hopefully it'll happen. I've got that 1% hope chance that it'll come up one of these days.
Yep, you never know.
Yeah, and that is one of those things. With baseball, you know, boy, Josh Hamilton is really having an incredible season. Already 18 home runs, 41 RBIs. I mean, he's having an incredible year.
Yeah, I mean, on this pace, someone said the other day, on this pace, he'd be hitting 80 home runs. I mean, it's like, what? And there's no way. I mean, I'm sure he won't get there.
No.
But, you know, it's great to see. You know, that's a great story. You know, he's been through a lot. You know, on a personal level, which I understand a lot of it was his own doing, but, you know, everyone's got their story, and, you know, he's done a lot to make sure he's got back onto the right track. So for him to have this kind of success, you know, he's a great, great athlete, obviously. So it's great for the sport. And if he continues this, man, this could be one of the greatest, you know, single season performances we've seen maybe forever. So I know baseball isn't, you know, it's not the same it used to be, but still, it's you can't ignore it. And man, I kind of hope it continues.
I do too. And the thing is, these Texas Rangers, they're probably the best team in baseball. I thought they'd fall off a little bit this year after last year getting to the World Series a couple of years in a row. They may get back there again for the third year in a row. And let's face it, they'll have a good chance of winning because this team is really well put together and they are an outstanding baseball team.
Yeah, if I'm the Detroit Tigers, I do not want to see them in the playoffs again. That's for sure. They're a great team. I think Detroit's had one series with them this year, maybe two. And I'm not sure how it turned out, but I don't think Detroit handled that team all that well. So,
no.
You know, they're on fire. You know, we still got a long way to go. There's always possible injuries or something like that to go for the Rangers. But, you know, if they continue their ways, man, they're going to be the team to beat. That's for sure.
Yes, they are, because that's going to be a tough series or more tough series when they meet again. I mean, I think Detroit took them either 3 out of 4 or 2 out of 3, one of the two when they met earlier in the year. But that's going to be a fantastic series. They've got a great pitching staff, and Detroit's pitching still getting their pitching staff together and getting their hitting together. So that certainly could be a very good, a very tough game for them.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, that was earlier on in the season that they may have got those wins. And like I said, it's a long season, so anything's possible. I guess we'd have to just wait and see. And I would venture to say right now that, assuming that Detroit doesn't completely fall off the deep end here, I would argue that we would probably see those two teams in the playoffs.
Yes, and just looking at the standings right now, the Washington Nationals in second place, half a game behind the Atlanta Braves. They're having a good season. And, of course, nobody thought the Dodgers would be as good as they are. They're leading the Western Division by five or six games. And St. Louis, no one thought that St. Louis would be as good as they are with Albert Pujols leaving. And they are still strong. And, of course, California is not doing much, you know, with Pujols, you know, or Los Angeles. They're in last place. So Pujols has certainly paying him $210 million over 10 years. It's going south right now, but it's still a long season. It's still plenty of time to get back. He's going to have to learn how to hit in a new league. That's the thing. A lot of players, just like fielders, having trouble when he crossed over as well. When you change leagues, you change the pitching habits of many pitchers are different, and you have to look at them in a different way when they change leagues.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, I think a lot of fans know that, but, you know, we sit on the couch, we sit behind the booth here, and we say those things, but it's much more difficult than we say it is. And for these players, you know, especially like Pujols, who's been in that, who was in one side of the league for so long and then have to switch over, and the kind of career he had in the other side of the league, that's a lot for someone to change. You know, he's still an amazing athlete, an amazing player. But, you know, it's going to take some time. And as the sports world is today, we just want to, you know, we want results instantly.
Yeah, instant results, right.
Instant results. I mean, that just doesn't happen. But, you know, I think he'll continue to improve. And I think the team will be fine. And hopefully, they'll get his money's worth, that's for sure. Hopefully.
Yeah, so he's only got one home run so far, but we know he's been pressing a lot. And hopefully, like you say, hopefully he'll start hitting, he'll get up into the 270s, like 180 right now. So he needs to get his average up and he needs to just hit better. And basically, you know, what you need to do basically is relax.
Yep, you know, just need to relax and play his game.
Exactly. Hey, want to thank you all for listening and thank you for calling and want you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. I want you to make sure you have yourself a safe and pleasant evening, and we'll look forward to hearing from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. So have a safe and pleasant evening, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.